Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is UFC Catholicism, Ultimate Faithful Catholics. I am on duty, reporting for duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm on duty, Jess, and I'm excited because we've got another great show. We've got not only the question about what if this largest experiment on human beings in history is a failure. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, because we've got some information about an Indiana life insurance CEO saying that deaths are up 40% among people aged 18 to 64. What's going on there? Wait till you hear about that. That's going to open up some eyes. Also, our good friend, and hey, I call him a good friend because he's exposing what's really going on with this COVID corruption. It's Dr. Robert Malone. We've got a 4.5-minute video for him telling parents not to get their kids vaxxed. As a matter of fact, 16,000 other doctors have signed that petition to say don't get your kids vaxxed. I just want you to hear what he has to say. Now, he was the inventor, so he should know. Also, we're going to have Pope Francis's new justice and his egalitarian synodal church. What's that all about? And then our good friend Michael Vorst will be coming on to talk about what's happening with the news on Church Militant. But Jesse, before we begin, I just want to acknowledge one of our listeners. A brand new listener wrote us a letter. She says, I'm a new listener this year. I'm a non-Catholic. A co-worker shared the Terry and Jesse Show primarily because of the information on vaccine mandates. I found this information very supportive as a health care administrator. Okay, she's not a nurse, Jess. She works as an administrator at a hospital who was not going along with the general narrative. Since then, I've enjoyed listening to many programs that have helped me grow in the faith. Merry Christmas, Sue. Wait, reason I bring that up, Jesse, is because people are looking for the truth, and when they hear it and they see what we're doing, they're like, wait a minute, they're right. And then they get hooked on our apologetics, on our Bible teachings, all the things that we do here. So I want to acknowledge Sue and say thank you very much for your donation also. But just before
Terry, I think more than anything, they get hooked on just truth, period. I mean, the fact is, because there's a lot of Catholic radio stations that say the truth.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there.
Sure.
But here, we'll go the extra mile, and we're willing to say things that other stations are not willing to say.
They won't say.
No. People will not say that the king has no clothes on other radio networks.
Right.
They'll hide the king's nakedness, and they won't say anything. But here, we have to expose the darkness, as St. Paul says in Ephesians 5.
And Jesse, I'm hoping you're going to take the first reading of today's Mass.
Yes, let's do it.
Oh my gosh, great advice. Great, let's get some soul food, brother.
First reading, 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 to 18.
Yep.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. The word that's used there is agape. It's not storge, eros, or philia. It's agape, which means divine love. No one has ever seen God. Okay, so let me stop there. So when Muhammad says that he was transported to heaven, that's a lie. No one has ever seen God. Okay,
yeah.
So Muhammad, anybody else that says that they've actually went to heaven and seen God, they lied.
Right.
The Bible says, yes, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Mm. That's what St. John of the Cross says. At the end of our earthly life, we will be judged by how much we loved.
Amen.
That's it. That's that. Not theology, not catechesis, by how much we loved. John writes, this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges, and the Greek word is also confesses, that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. And this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So notice the Catholic, what do we believe about our salvation? We have confidence, not absolute assurance, which is the Protestant doctrine, which is an error, mm-hmm. You know, absolute assurance total certainty. No, we have, as the Bible says, we have confidence on the day of judgment. What day? That's our particular judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Thomas says about that last verse, he says, fear is the enemy of faith, and faith is the opposite of fear. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, see, great point. I just want to mention something a year ago. And again, throughout a year ago, if you recall, we had just had an election back in November. And it's just interesting how things change. President Joe Biden, he was in a race with Trump, and he said this a year ago in November: "I am not going to shut down this country. I am not going to shut down the economy. I'm going to shut down the virus." And then this week, Jess, are you ready? Incredibly, okay, he changed his tune, saying this now. He told governors from across the country that there is no federal solution to COVID, and it's now up to the states to figure out the difference. What a difference a year makes, my friends. Jesse, I just had to bring that up because I pray for his conversion, but this guy is such a disaster for this country that we need to pray hard for his conversion, especially for the unborn.
He has a track record of one lie after another.
Yeah.
50 years of fabrication.
Yeah.
I slap my forehead to think that he's sitting in the White House.
Yeah. Let me bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Full Sheen ahead. The St. Teresa of Avila is with Bishop Sheen. Here it comes. Nothing should trouble you. Nothing should frighten you. Everything passes. God alone remains the same. Patient wins all. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone is enough. The reason I bring this up with Bishop Sheen is because right now we got a bunch of fearful people right now, Jesse, running around. I don't think we have 4.5 minutes until the break, Jess. So we'll play that. We'll play the Dr. Robert Malone video when we come back. But I just want to ask you this, Jess. I mentioned something the other day to you. We had a show on crime. And just this morning here in California, big news, Prop 46, the one that gave everybody the right to steal $1,950 worth of product, the Democrats are now proposing reversing that. Maybe our show had some influence on, I don't know, but people are so frustrated. Even the Democrats are saying enough's enough. This grab and breaking into stores and not being punished by it, we can't keep that up. So now, believe it or not, liberal California is putting through legislation that's going to stop people from not being punished for stealing up to $1,000 worth of merchandise. What a novel idea, California.
Terry, here's something else that it's kind of on the good news.
Crazy.
On the good news section.
Yeah.
A lot of liberals are always talking about when you say something, they'll say, "Oh, fact check. Did you fact check?"
Oh, yeah.
Fact check. And people act like if this is like God speaking.
And it's not.
Did you fact check? Well, guess what? I knew it was baloney and malarkey.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been saying this for years. I've been vindicated. Breitbart just has an article that says Facebook admits in court that fact checkers are just opinions.
Yep.
Did you catch that?
Yep.
They were sued in court by John Stossel, who used to work for Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
He took Facebook to court and he sued them over defamation because they kept saying his articles were false, fake news. And so Facebook had to admit in court that its fact checkers of information basically are young liberal millennials
sitting in their basement
that are aimed at conservatives. They're nothing more than statements of opinion, and these people were paid by big billionaires. So this whole fact check is false. So anybody calling up or emailing me, don't say, "I'm going to fact check you," because I'm going to disregard you as a listener, because it means you don't have a brain.
Well,
because these fact checkers are young liberals.
That's right.
Paid by Soros, paid by Zuckerberg, paid by Gates. and it's been established in a court of law that it's fake. They're giving their opinions. They're not experts on anything.
Just the facts, Jess. And you know what? We're making progress. Megyn Kelly has an article saying that even leftists now realize the truth about COVID lockdowns, masks, and infections. We're seeing more and more young people realizing that they've been hoodwinked by the mainstream media and the government. And I just see that happening more and more. So I would say that we're going to keep the metal to the pedal with the truth, because it's what the truth will set us free. Now, when we come back, Jesse, this article, I printed the whole article out, the Indiana Life Insurance CEO saying that deaths are up 40% among people age 18 to 64, and it's not COVID deaths. So what's that all about? When we come back, this is an eye-opening message, because as we said in this article, if the largest experiment on human beings in history is a failure, then what does that say about us? And we're going to talk more about that when we come back and point it all out. Don't forget, Jess Romero will be here at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. You can still listen to all the talks, even though it's sold out, by just going online to vmpr.org. Sign up to get your stream so that you can actually hear, not just the Monday after the event, anytime you can hear all these talks on our Spiritual Warfare Conference with Father Chad Ripperker and his crew. When we come back, this is going to blow you away about death and what's going on with a 40% increase with young people. What? Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Dr. Robert Malone, who's basically, he's the Archbishop Vigano of medical doctors. That's what he is.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, he was on this morning on Church Militant on the Vortex. It's worth watching. It's 7 minutes. But he writes an article because he read an article that's on the internet. I read it as well. It's called Indiana Life Insurance CEO basically saying that a lot of people are dying right now. Up to 40% of deaths are up 40% among people ages 18 to 64. So that's an article. It's on the internet. It's on the Indiana Life Insurance. The CEO said this.
Yep.
So Dr. Malone, he's scratching his head. He's saying, man, why would a life insurance company raise such concerns? So he asked the question, what if the largest experiment on human beings in history is a failure? What experiment is this? Well, the vaccinations. He says, this headline from the Indiana Life Insurance is a nuclear truth bomb masquerading as an insurance agent's dry manila envelope full of actuarial tables. In other words, those are those guys that crunch numbers, actuaries. Guys who compute premiums and dividends and risks according to statistical probabilities. So Dr. Malone says, people frequently write to Jill and myself. She's also a doctor, his wife. People we have never met, and many want to tell us about their fears, illnesses, nightmares, or what often seems like outright paranoid conspiracies. And then over time, these fears and conspiracies keep getting confirmed.
Yep.
It's getting harder and harder to tell people which ones are mere conspiracy theories and which ones are reality. Hear, hear.
Yep.
He says one farm visitor told me of this foreshadowing massive number of deaths within 3 years consequent to the genetic vaccines. And that was all about the Great Reset and the depopulation agenda of the World Economic Forum. I tried to reassure him that, in my opinion, what he was telling me was highly unlikely, while privately thinking in my mind about how easily people fall into this type of conspiracy ideation. And how I, as a doctor, need to be careful to avoid going there when confronting so many public health decisions that appear either incompetent or dangerous. At the time, I only knew of the World Economic Forum as the host of a big annual party in Davos, Switzerland, where the uber-rich of the Western nations went to watch TED Talks, drink the best wine, and just basically hobnob with each other. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Malone says, but I am wandering from a point that I'm afraid to clearly state.
Yeah.
It is starting to look to me like the largest experiment on human beings in recorded history has failed. And if this rather dry report from a senior Indiana life insurance executive holds true, then Reiner Fuhlmich's crimes against humanity push for convening new Nuremberg trials. It starts to look like a lot less Quixote and a lot more prophetic. So here he says, here is what lit me up in this report from the Center Square contributor, Margaret Menge. This is from the actual report mm-hmm. from Indiana. It says, the head of the Indianapolis-based insurance company, One America, said the death rate is up a stunning 40% from pre-pandemic levels among working-age people. We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America. The company's CEO, Scott Davison, said during an online news conference this week, the data is consistent across every player in that business. One America is an $100 billion insurance company that has its headquarters in Indianapolis since 1877. The company has approximately 2,400 employees and sells life insurance, including group life insurance, to employers in the state. The CEO, Davison, said the increase in deaths represents huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people who are dying.
Yeah, which we expect to have happen, right? It's not the elderly, it's the middle age.
But primarily working people ages 18 to 64 who are the companies, who are employees of the companies that have group life insurance.
And they're not supposed to die that quick.
Yep.
It's not part of the equation. See, this is what's killing them financially. Go ahead, Jess.
The CEO says, and we saw just in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
is that the death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic, said the CEO of this insurance company. He said, just to give you an idea of how bad it is, a Three Sigma or a one in 200 year catastrophe would be 10% increase over pre-pandemic, he said.
Yeah, they planned for that eventually happening, but not this. Go ahead.
Yeah, so 40% of deaths is just unheard
of. Don't plan
of.
For that.
So what is driving this unprecedented surge in all-cause mortality? Well, most of the claims for deaths being filed are not classified as COVID-19 deaths. CEO Davison said, what the data is showing to us is that the deaths that are being reported as COVID deaths greatly understate the actual death losses among working age people from the pandemic. It may not all be COVID on their death certificate, but deaths are up just huge, huge numbers. So you can read the article. It's called Indiana Life Insurance CEO Says Deaths Are Up 40% Among People Between 18 and 64. You can get it from thecentersquare.com, thecentersquare.com. Dr. Malone says, at a minimum, based on my reading, one has to conclude that if this report holds and is confirmed by others in the dry world of life insurance actuaries, we have both a huge human tragedy and a profound public policy failure of the U.S. government and the U.S. HHS system to serve and protect the citizens that pay for this service. If this holds true, Robert Malone says, then the genetic vaccines so aggressively promoted have failed, and the clear federal campaign to prevent early treatment with life-saving drugs has contributed to a massive avoidable loss of life. At worst, this report implies that the federal workplace vaccine mandates have driven what appear to be a true crime against humanity, massive loss of life in presumably workers that have been forced to accept a toxic vaccine at higher frequency relative to the general population of India. Furthermore, We have also been living through the most massive globally coordinated propaganda and censorship campaign in the history of the human race. All major mass media and the social media technology companies have coordinated to stifle and suppress any discussions of the risk of the genetic vaccines and or alternative early treatments. If this report holds true, there must be accountability. We're not just talking about running over the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and grinding it into the mud with an army of artificial intelligence powered heavy infantry. This article reads like a dry description of an avoidable mass casualty event caused by a mandated experimental medical procedure, one for which all opportunities for the victims to have become self-informed about the potential risk have been methodically erased both from the internet and public awareness by an international corrupt cabal operating under the flag of the Trusted News Initiative. Terry, he says George Orwell, who wrote the book 1984, must be spinning in his grave. Dr. Malone says, I hope I'm wrong. I fear I am right.
He's spot on, Jess. Let's be honest. You know, we talk about collateral damage from the vaccine. I think now we're up to 1 million people recorded saying that they've had bad effects from the vaccine. First of all, even the Cardinal of Washington, D.C., who was vaccinated, he got his updated shots. He's got COVID. So first of all, they don't work as they say they will. Number two, the effect that it has on the body, we are going to find out in years to come, more people dying, and they're never going to say it was the vaccine. But I'm going to give you a point, Jess, and that is many people don't even want to go to the doctors right now. They want to go to the hospital with what's happening. So a lot of these people that need medical assistance for their heart, their liver, they're not going and they're dying off. This is what I'm saying. The amount of people that are dying now because of COVID-19's practices have nothing to do with, you know, the disease. What it has to do with is that we're not treating people who need to be treated because we're overreacting to the COVID vaccine and we're overreacting to COVID-19's, and now we're just forgetting about people who need medical attention. And so what's going to happen is this is a financial debacle. And when we come back from the break, I want to give a 4-minute clip of this Dr. Robert Malone, that it's a powerful message for all of us who have children or grandchildren. I pray that more moms and dads, especially dads, will protect their children from being vaxxed because of government pressure. But I will say this, that article that he pointed out about the insurance companies, you can imagine that you go buying health insurance, right? Not health, life insurance in the future. As it says in the article, the premiums are going to go sky high because someone's got to pay for the extra deaths that are happening, and it will be our kids when they get their insurance policies. But 40%, never before it's happened. Again, Jesse, this company's been around since 1877. This is tragic, and this is the fallout from a failed experiment, and that's exactly what Dr. Malone is pointing out. And again, who knows better than the guy that invented this type of technology to say it's not a good thing? So I just believe, Jesse, that many people don't want to hear this, but more and more people are realizing that for the last 2 years, we haven't been told the truth about the vaccine.
I think I can plug in this whole article to paragraph 675 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Excellent, do it.
Which talks about the end of the world.
Yeah.
675, before Christ's second coming,
this is great.
The church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. I think this is the trial that it's referring to. We're going through it right now, Great Reset. The Catechism says, the persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception. I think the religious deception is this whole medical tyranny, vax, the COVID-19, the Great Reset. I think this is the great religious deception because they couch all their words in religious terms. It says, a religious deception offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. Yep.
That's it. You nailed
what's the solution? Get the vax. And what's the price of apostasy? Close down the churches. Close down the churches.
That was paragraph 675. Look it up for yourself. Just didn't make that up. That's the church's teaching. When we come back, Dr. Robert Malone tells us about the children that shouldn't get vaxxed. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're part of this.
Back. Hey, Jess, just a quick note, brother. I know you're going to be on Taylor Marshall's show, the fourth segment, so that's great that you're going to be on Taylor Marshall's show, and Michael Voris will be on at the same time here. But I wanted to get Dr. Robert Malone's video in, because it's so important for parents to understand what's at stake when it comes to the government to asking you, the state, to get your kids vaxxed. This is a very important video. Let's play it right
now. My name is Robert Malone. I'm a physician and a scientist, but more importantly, I'm a father and a grandfather. I don't usually read from a prepared speech, but this is so important that I wanted to make sure that I got every single word and fact, scientific fact, correct. I stand by this statement with a career dedicated to vaccine research and development. I'm vaccinated for COVID, and I'm generally pro-vaccination. I've devoted my entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. After this, I'll be posting the text of this statement so that you can share it with your friends and family. Here's the thing. Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family. The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risk from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Terry, Dr. Malone stands with about 60,000 doctors.
Yeah.
I think on the 27th, we did a show.
We did.
And the article's called 60,000 Scientists Call for an End to Mass Vaccination. It was put out by the French Daily News. And again, that includes children. So Dr. Malone is part of an army of PhDs and scientists that are saying this is completely unnecessary. Yep.
I know we got another article to get to before Michael Vorse is going to be coming on when you're off, but this is important. The benefit is not there, and let's just be honest with it. What's going to happen to our children? You know, most of us will be gone, have our eternal reward or our damnation, depending on what we get judged on. But I mean, I just think that, especially for moms and dads, don't take for granted the states is after your best interest for your kids. They're not.
Yeah, that's right. Terry, and going out talking about the synods that are happening in the Catholic Church ever since Pope Francis came to the papacy,
right.
The article's called Pope Francis's New Justice and His Egalitarian Synodal Church.
Mm-hmm.
You can read the article. It got a lot of details, but
right.
let me just go do a deep
summary,
dive.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a deep dive into this.
Okay.
Where does this synodal council
approach
come from? Yeah, people don't say. So, what's the history behind this? Well, Father Joseph Dwight, back in September 2013, he has an article on the internet where he talks about that synods are directives of the Freemasons to the Catholic bishops. They've been in effect since the 1960s. Here is the directive from this priest homily, Father Joseph Dwight, September 2013, and the Masons' instructions to Catholic bishops. Here's directive number 23 from the Masons.
Incredible.
They said, be bold, weaken the Pope by introducing episcopal synods. The Pope will then become only a figurehead, as in England, where the high chamber and the low chamber reign, and from then the queen receives orders. Then weaken the authority of the bishop, giving rise to a concurrent institution at the level of the priest. Say that in this way the priests receive attention they deserve. Finally, weaken the authority of the priest with the formation of groups of lay people who dominate the priest. In this way you will give rise to such a hatred that even cardinals will abandon the church, and then the church will be democratic, the new church. Here's point number 30 from the Masons to the U.S. bishops, as outlined in Father Joseph Dwight's homily, September 2013. You can get this homily from remnantdisciple.com. That's Michael Matt's website, remnantdisciple.com. Number two, the Masons say, after the anti-pope has been elected, dissolve the synod of bishops, as well as the Association of Priests and Parish Councils. Forbid all religious to question without permission. These new provisions explain that God loves humility and hates those who aspire to glory. Accuse of disobedience against the ecclesiastical authority of all those who raise questions. Discourage obedience to God. Tell the people that they must obey these higher ecclesiastics. So, Terry, what we're experiencing right now post-Vatican II, it's basically been, once again, the infiltration of the Masons into the Catholic Church.
And, Jesse, not only that, we've got the facts about a lot of these synodal church meetings. When people bring up orthodoxy or they want reverent liturgies, they poo-poo them. We've got that for the facts. Young people saying, "Wait, you want to hear me? Okay, here's my concerns. I want a Latin mass, or I want a mass that's reverent. I want to have clarity on the doctrine." They don't even put that into the equation. They just say, "Oh, poo-poo, get out of here. We don't. That's not what we want to hear." So really what's happening, Jesse, is they already have their answers before they even have the meeting.
Yes.
That's
yes.
wrong. Okay, I'm going to call them out on that because that's just plain wrong. That tells me that they have an agenda, and it's irregardless of what people think. They make it sound like they're getting your input, and it's just not true, Jess.
Yeah, and Terry, this is the whole democratization.
Yes, the church is hierarchical. It's not a democracy.
Yes, yeah.
Jesse, can you vote on whether you want women priests? Oh, you do want them in Germany? Okay. Oh, you don't want a priesthood? Well, let's vote on that too. What in the world is that about? It's not the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's the problem with these synods, is Terry, is that we have a hierarchical structure instituted by Christ, and these synods, they turn the church into a horizontal structure, where sister habitless and deacon dissenter and Larry the Eucharistic minister, all of them have an equal stake at the table, and this is not the solution to the abuse scandals. This is simply the democratization of the Catholic Church on what I would call on the altar of hypocrisy. Because what these synods are trying to do, they're trying to equate the laity and the clergy. It's blurring the lines.
That's right.
That's what Luther, that was Luther's heresy back in 1517. He blurred the lines between the clergy and the laity. He did not understand the hierarchy that was set up by Christ, or he didn't want to understand it. And that's essentially what the synod or the synodality, it makes the lay people and clergy, it makes them basically equal.
Yeah, and it's contrary to what the church's magisterium is all about, meaning that it's the perennial teachings of the church that the church is needing to proclaim, not anything new. Hey, when we come back, Michael Voris will be with us. Wait till you hear what he has to say about what's going on out in Georgia regarding the election. Holy mackerel, a bunch of other good things about Church Militant's news. So stay with us. Jesse is on his way over to Dr. Marshall's little podcast, so check that out with Dr. Marshall. And we'll come back with Michael Voris. What are we doing? We're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Stay with us, family.
Amen.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse had to run. Michael Voris, Church Militant, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, my friend.
Very much, Terry. I know Jesse just didn't want to face the music.
Yeah, yet, I know. You
he
know,
high-tailed
it. Oh, God love him. Yeah, that's right. Jab him. He can use that. He can take that.
He can take
it. Oh, absolutely, Michael. Well, I'm just glad you're back again. Every Wednesday, for those listeners, we want to promote the Church Militant newscast. Every day you can get this. And what we do is we have them on Wednesdays just to tease us, to say, wow, we got to wait till, 7 o'clock California time to hear all this? But that's what you do. So, Michael, give us a little background of what's going on for tonight's broadcast, maybe the first story that I know what it is, and I think you guys are just on top of this. This is big news coming down regarding the election. So let's talk about your first story.
Yeah, we actually broke it last night on evening. Well, I'm sorry, we didn't break it. Someone else broke it, but we reported it in the middle of evening news last night just as it was happening. Mm-hmm. And it's the case that in Georgia, the Secretary of State there, Brad Raffensperger, people who are political junkies or paying attention to the election madness at the end of last year, they'll recognize that name because he and Trump got into it and a lot of stuff there. Well, he comes out and he announces yesterday that they're going today, the state of Georgia, under his direction, is going to begin an investigation into illegal ballot harvesting that happened inside the state of Georgia during the 2020 election. Now, interestingly, if you look at the gap, it's about 10,000, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. It's about 10,000 vote that difference that Biden was supposed to have won Georgia by, officially. he won it. But, you know, of course, that's, you're cheating. And remember, they went through two or three vote recounts there. And the media kept saying, see, nothing here, nothing here.
Right.
Safest, fairest election. And Brad Raffensperger was not a fan of Trump. He came out and blasted him a few times in various news reports and all of that. And then all of a sudden, he's doing this. Well, now here's an interesting little point. I haven't seen this brought up anywhere except here at Church Militant. Brad Raffensperger is running for re-election. Which I found curious. We discovered that about a month and a half ago. I guess he announced back in May, but it was all very quiet, not much celebration. So we're hunting it up, and all of a sudden, yep, here he is. He has just a 45% approval rating among Georgia Republicans. that doesn't go very well, you know. So there's, when you look at what's going on with the election stuff in general, you know, there's the big thing we covered a couple of weeks back in Arizona. There are ad hoc hearings in various counties, legislative hearings in various counties. And you know, there's witness after witness after witness, you know, coming up, coming forward and saying, I saw this, it said this, I've done the statistical analysis, I've compared the numbers of voters to this and that, you know, and the information just keeps pouring out. And it's curious. So what triggered Brad Raffensperger all of a sudden to say, hey, let's do a, let's go check illegal ballot harvesting. Sorry. And well, can have something to do with his election, his re-election. He's not doing well. Who knows?
Well, Michael, is it true that there were videos of in the middle of the night showing people stuffing ballots in these temporary ballot positions? And because I saw this, I'm saying that they have it on video, people doing this. I mean, how do you not expose that and not tell people the truth? I mean, I get the connection about him being reelected. He needs to be for a political reason. But my gosh, why didn't this come out much earlier? That's my question.
Well, you know, it did. If you remember, I think the video you may be referring to is the sort of dead of the night at the.
Yes, I'm referring to that. Yep.
When they're pulling all those big suitcases out from under the table.
Yes.
Everybody's been told to go home. The elections manager guy for Georgia is on air telling everybody, you know, oh, no, that's how we always do it. That's just standard, right? You take ballots and you stuff them into suitcases. And then
unbelievable.
You put them under the table and then you pull them back out when everybody's been told to go home. That's how you do run elections in Georgia.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, Raffensperger is part of the Republican establishment. He always has been. You know, he's part of the whole Georgia, you know, Brian Kemp, who's governor of Georgia. That all of that is all part of the same thing. They all hate Trump. It's not that they're in cahoots with the Democrats to cheat and help the Democrats win. They're in cahoots with the Democrats to make sure Trump lost.
Wow.
And
that's
only bad. Now is stuff starting to come out, even here in Michigan, where we are. You know, there's more and more stuff coming forward. I mean, it just keeps coming. That's the point.
You got it.
And, you know, to keep saying, oh, it's the fairest election in U.S. history.
Give me a break.
Well, really?
Michael, you got a second story that I think was tied into the CDC. This is pretty mind-boggling. Can you share that one now with us? Tease us a little?
Yeah, okay. So there are now officially over 1 million adverse reactions to the vax, which we all know isn't really a vax, to the serum being injected into people, I suppose would be the most accurate way to say it.
Yep.
There's been 1 million adverse reactions. You know, some of those are somewhat minor, but many of them, you know, nobody really calls up the CDC and says, hey, I got the vax and I have a headache for 10 minutes. So most of them are already, you know, moderate to severe reactions, including death. I'd say death constitutes a adverse reaction.
You think?
Getting the serum injected into you. The number being officially reported by the Centers for Disease Control is about 20,000 deaths.
Wow.
However, as we remember back in the early days of the whole COVID thing, and then the counting and the numbers changed, and how do you count a death? Is it because of COVID, or did you get hit by a truck and you happen to have COVID?
Exactly.
There's all that weird stuff. Well, the same thing's going on here with how many people have actually died as a result of getting the shot. In other words, had they not gotten the shot, would they still be living?
Yeah.
That number is kind of all over the map. It ranges from, depending on who's doing the study and what they're looking at and what their parameters are, the CDC says it's 20,000. Some studies have jacked it up as high as 400,000.
Yeah, that's right.
So You know, it's really hard to kind of pimp. All we know is that, you know, I mean, I remember people taking the flu, getting the flu shot at your local pharmacy and, you know, some percentage of you dropping dead from it. Well, that's even the CDC is admitting some people are being killed by the vax.
Of course. Michael, what about your third story tied into the vax also?
Yeah, the thing that's really interesting here, the British vax creator, AstraZeneca, mm-hmm. has come out and said publicly, CEO of the company has come out and said, absolutely, the boosters are a complete waste of time. They accomplish nothing.
Hard to believe.
And that's, but, you know, contrast that yes. with, you know, brain dead yesterday in his press conference, get shot, get the booster, yeah. get vaxxed. And it's like, so you wonder why, you know, you can't hold back all of the information yeah. here. You know, there are just way too many outlets. People talk, people have life experience, you know, the from the ground up things kind of well up from the yeah. ground up. And that's what's going on right now that you're seeing in the real world in people's real lives where we all live out, you know, out in Main Town, USA. Sure. This is what's going on here that there are all sorts of adverse reactions. The science is being contradicted left and right. Fauci goes on all the network talk shows every Sunday morning, says one-to-one, says something different to the other one, contradicts what the White House is saying. I mean, it's just insane. And this is the problem now for Catholics.
Yes.
Is the bishops are continuing to say, continuing to this day, to say, follow the science, get the vax, getting rid of you, you can't work for the diocese, this, that, and the other. And we are not positive of this because we're trying to check it out, but I will share with you and the sure. audience just a few minutes before I walked up here. We got information that the USCCB mm-hmm. is now telling its employees, we haven't confirmed this, I'm just saying we're still investigating it, but we got the information that the USCCB is now telling its employees get vaxxed or hit the road.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise
so,
me.
You know, it's, you ask, why are you constantly, why are the bishops so in bed with this whole vax yeah. thing? The whole rest of America, I mean, you know, all the airlines were like, rah, and then they started pulling back and various unions were like, go get the vax, and then they started pulling back. But you see no pullback at all from most of the bishops in the United States.
Michael, one of the things that Church Militant does so well is that, you know, it exposes error with the truth, not just the truth of facts, but the truth of the gospel especially. And I think of what Pope Pius XII said 71 years ago, and I think this is really apropos for Church Militant. He said this, and I think this is Church Militant responding to Pope Pius XII from 71 years ago. He said, I'm worried by the Blessed Virgin's message to Lucia of Fatima. This persistence of Mary about the dangers which menace the church is a divine warning against the suicide of altering the faith. In her liturgy, in her theology, and her soul, here all around me, innovators who wish to dismantle the sacred chapel, destroy the universal flame of the true faith of the church, reject her ornaments, and make her feel remorse for her historic past. Well, one thing I can say about Church Militant, and I'll say it to my grave, you guys are proclaiming the perennial teachings of the church. You don't compromise. That's why Virgin Most Powerful Radio has you on every week. There's no other group that we have on every week. And I'm going to say it's because we want to support what you're doing, because you're doing what the Holy Father is saying, and that is you're holding on to the faith and you're sharing it with millions of people. I heard your show yesterday, your news yesterday, and somebody out in, I think it was Europe or somebody, picked up a story from Church Militant. You know, I thought, you know what? They're making progress because it's all over the world now. And how is this, Michael? Because the group that you guys have, you're not just you. I want to compliment all the staff you have, the young people
Absolutely.
That I've met. These guys are real deals that they're for the faith. They're not here to get a job like, oh, I just want to get into media. No, they have a zeal for the salvation of souls. And as canon law says, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. So I want to commend you for what you're doing and tell people, get on board. Shut your other news medias off. Listen to Church Militant every single day. Michael, how can they do that?
churchmilitant.com. We have evening news on live at 7 p.m. Eastern every single night. It gets it's 7 to 8. We have lots of analysis and stories and context and all of that things Catholics would want to know about. It's one thing to just give somebody, hey, here, this happened, but it needs to be in relationship to something else. And that's put up on replay about an hour or so after it's done and stays up until the next one. But yeah, it's good. It's a good show if we say so ourselves.
I think so. I don't miss it. Every night I watch it. So I want you to listen to it also, my listeners. And I want to just say thanks again, Michael, for coming on. Keep up the good work. May God richly bless you and your ministry, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Terry. God bless.
My pleasure. And folks are going to ask Jesse if he was here what state we should be living in. He would say, brother, the state of grace. And that, how do you do that? Well, you get the confession on a regular basis. What's a regular basis? At least once a month. Remember Our Lady of Fatima said, souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices for them. Will you stand up and make sacrifices and pray for the conversion of sinners? Say yes, because I will. And I want to thank you for saying yes to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God richly bless you and your family. God love you.